leap year thing was, we're in leap year. Obviously, we had a 29th yesterday, and I saw where someone, maybe in some of y'all, but somebody I knew, bought a gallon of milk, and it had expires February the 30th. So that milk lasts forever. So, but, you know, I was thinking about the leap year yesterday. The wind felt like March, didn't it? Was that March come in like a line? That's what it felt like. But God's way is always perfect. His weather is, we try to tell him how to run his weather, but he knows what he's doing. Thank God he don't leave that up to me. So excited about springtime coming, ready for a little warmer weather. And it's amazing how we're always ready for something else. We're already ready for something. But thanks God that he sustains us and he takes care of us. This morning, do we have any prayer requests before we get started? Any requests? I know there were several in our Sunday school. Yes, remember her. Yeah, Lee came home. She'd been in the hospital. They was able to get a lot of fluid off of her. Got her feeling better. So y'all be much in prayer for her. She is at home now. Unspoken, remember that. Remember those that may be sick this morning, maybe working or whatever situation is, some traveling probably. So remember all those.
Remember Brad Barnes. He's in Costa Rica getting treatment because of nowhere in America no treatment for any type of cancer. So there's dinners and dinners to keep him.
I didn't know where he was. I didn't know. Remember Brad and his family.
Tommy Greer from Carrollton.
Yes.
Accident.
Remember him. Any others? No others? We'll go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day that you allow us to live. God, we thank you for who you are, and God, what you've done for us. Lord, we come to you at this time with a prayer request. We ask that you touch each situation that's been made known, each request that's been made. God, we ask that you touch it as you see fit. Lord, we pray this morning that we as your people, whatever be about your business, and that God, you would put a desire in our heart to follow you closer and to God be more like your son. And Lord, we pray that's what's accomplished here today, that something we may say, something that's saying or whatever it may be, God, that heart and minds are open and that you fill the void. There's people hurting on every way we see. We come in contact with them. We may not know what's going on in their lives, but we all have problems. And Lord, we know you're the answer. God, we ask you to touch our singers this morning. God, they may sing praises unto you. Father, as we go in the preaching hour, I pray that you touch my lips. God, give me the words to say. God, most of all, if there be one here, God, that's struggling, that's afar off, God, we pray you would draw them near. These blessings we do ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand and join us in our call for worship.
I start? If I could tell you everything that I have learned so far, then you could be one step ahead of all the painful memories still running through my head. I wonder how much different things would be, dear younger me. Some speech about how to get the most out of your life, or do I go deep and try to change the choices that you'll make, cause they're the choices that made me. And even though I love this crazy life, sometimes I wish it was a smoother ride, dear young.
That's quite fair of me how to follow that. Well, I appreciate that singing. I love that song. We all should be excited over that song. Marvelous grace that pardoned me from all my sins. Thank God for that. We all stand in need of marvelous grace, don't we? Without it, we would be in a mess. You got your Bibles, turn to Ezekiel chapter number 8. Ezekiel chapter number 8. Basically the whole chapter. There's no way to stop. In this chapter, if you study from Ezekiel chapter 8 to Ezekiel somewhere in chapter 10, about the middle of chapter 10, you'll find that God showed Ezekiel that his glory was about to depart from the temple. And may I tell you today that without God, the temple was an empty building, was just a structure, was nothing special about it, although it could have all the money that Solomon could have come up with to put into it, but without God, there was nothing there. It was just a no good building, basically. And if I had a title for the message today, it would be When God Leaves the House. When God Leaves the House. It's a sad day when God has left the church. I preached last Sunday night in Revelation chapter number 2 about that church called Sardis. And that's what had happened. They didn't realize that God had left the house. And today we may be guilty of coming into a house of God and thinking that God is with us and he may be far from us. Because of some of the things that was going on in Ezekiel's day is going on in our day. It's going on in our lives, going on in my life, in your life, and unless somebody points them to us, we may not see it. You see, Ezekiel had to get snatched up by the hair of his head for him to see it. You read about this, and that's exactly what God did. He pulled him up by the locks of his head. Now, how would you like it? We all want a touch from God, we say. We say, God, touch us today. What if he come by, Rudy, and picked you up by the hair of your head? He'd have to get a good grip on Rudy. He ain't got a lot there, but now Derek's got some locks up there, brother. He could grab a hold of Derek, and he could get Derek picked up, and it wouldn't take much strength either for a little Derek, but I don't know how I get off on all those things. But in these scriptures, we make a little light of it, but it's very, very serious a thing when God leaves the house. And in Ezekiel chapter 8, I'm not going to ask you to stand because there's a lot of reading, but listen closely as I read, and you've got to listen close and imagine that Ezekiel is seeing a vision that God has given him. It says, and it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month, that I sat in mine house, the elders of Judah sat before me, that the hand of the Lord God fell there upon me. Did you notice how he explained even the day? I never noticed that, but think about how he explained the exact time. Then I beheld in lo a likeness as appearance of fire, from the appearance of his loins even downward, fire from his loins even upward, and the appearance of brightness as the color of amber. And he put forth the form of a hand and took me by a lock of mine head, and he lifted me up between the earth and heaven and brought me into the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate, looking toward the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provoketh to jealousy. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, according to the vision that I saw on the plain. Then said unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now the way towards the north. So I lifted up mine eyes the way toward the north, and behold, northward at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy in the entry. He said furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do? Even the great abomination that the house of Israel committeth here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary, but turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. And he brought me to the door of the court. And when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. He said unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, go in, and behold, the wicked abominations they do here. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things, abominable beasts, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel, and in the midst of them Jazaniah, the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the chambers of his imagery? For they say, the Lord seeth us not, the Lord hath forsaken the earth. He said also unto me, turn thee yet again, thou shalt see greater abomination than they do. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north. Behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Then he said unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, thou shalt see greater abominations than these. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men, with their backs toward the temple of the Lord, and their faces toward the east, and they worshiped the sun towards the east. Then he said unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing for the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence, and have returned to provoke me to anger, and lo, they put the branch to their nose. Therefore will I also deal in fury. Mine eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet I will not hear them. Father, we thank you this morning for this word. God, I pray you open our hearts and minds. And Father, I pray that your spirit would be in this house. And God, I understand from reading this word and studying this word that you cannot be in the presence of a people caught up in sin. And God, I pray today that we will see this and the need to live as close as we can. Only by the blood of Jesus Christ is it possible that we can come before you clean. But God, will you let us live a life, God, that we strive to be more like him. And these blessings we pray in Jesus' name, amen. When you read this, it's something else to think about what God did of coming and grabbing Ezekiel No, people argue, was he actually there? Was he in a vision? It really don't matter. He saw this thing, and God let him see it. But God picked him up by the hair of his head and carried him up there where he could see what was going on at the house of God. Now listen, this is not talking about a saloon down the street. This is not talking about a restaurant down the street. This is talking about the house of God. This is talking about the sanctuary where God meets with his people. It's where all these things was going on. And you say, well, what in the world is wrong with those folks bringing these idols into the house of God? My friend, today there's something on every one of our minds as we're sitting here right now that's become an idol between you and God. I don't know what yours is. I know what mine is. But we all have them, something that is more important to us than what we're doing here today. We see as when the weather starts getting a little bit warm, it don't take much coaxing at all for us to want to go fishing. It don't take much for us to want to go play golf and all these other things. It's just human nature to want to do that. But we all have these idols and these things that we've done even in the house of God. Now, I understand that where this is spiritually speaking, as the Bible teaches us in Corinthians, and we'll get there in a little bit, that our body is a temple of God. And listen, these same things they were doing in the temple, here in the physical temple, we are guilty of doing in our body. But listen here. I'm going to show you why God had left the house. Why God had left the house. Number one, they had profaned the altar. Chapter 8, verse number 6. They had profaned the altar. Had profaned the altar. And I had that wrong if I put chapter 3, 6. Because it's chapter 8, verse number 6. They had profaned the altar. They had completely went away from. Listen to this. God began seeing as he brought them up into the gate of the jealousy. He saw of what they had profaned. He said, furthermore, son of man, see what they do. Even the great denomination, the house of Israel, committeth here, thou shalt go far from my sanctuary. They had profaned the very altar of God. Now listen, you've heard me say a lot lately that if you was to build a new church, if you want to save you some money, take out the altars. They had profaned the altar of God. They had profaned where they sacrificed the things to God and the prayers they made to God. They had profaned it. They had done away with it. They saw no need in it. This was at a time when desolation was upon the land of Israel because of their sin. And the men thought because God, it looked like he wouldn't bless them, they would just try something else. And if he wasn't present there in Jerusalem, then they might just worship any way they wanted to. And they just do what they wanted to at the house of God. It didn't matter anyway because he was not there. But listen, there is nowhere you can go to get away from God. But listen, they had profaned the altar. And because of that, God was jealous. He is a jealous God. He's not jealous like I'm jealous that I don't have the latest and greatest thing that the world has to offer. He was jealous in that he desires a relationship with you. And when you have a relationship with anything else that comes in front of him, he becomes jealous. How many married people is in here? Raise your hand. If you ain't ashamed, you better if your wife's sitting beside you. How many of you would be okay with your wife just having another fella? That's a man for y'all that don't know. Now, how many of y'all wives would be okay with your husbands having another woman? Anybody? Raise your hand if it's okay with you. If you do, I don't want to know about that stuff, but listen. I know I realize we're in 2020, but we're not okay with that. That's not okay. If you really love someone, that person is you. When we are married, the two becomes one flesh, and we don't want anything to come between that. And listen, when we come to Jesus today, we have been espoused to him. We become married to the Lord. We become a spiritual marriage. And because of this thing, we are guilty of spiritual adultery all the time. And we expect him to forgive us and forgive us and forgive us. And bless God, if our wives was to have one affair on us, we'd want a divorce, wouldn't we? We'd never could trust her again. We wouldn't want her to go anywhere by herself. It would just be a terrible thing. Do you imagine how God must feel today? He says he is jealous, and he was jealous because they had profaned the altar of God. Where they're supposed to be worshiping a true and a holy God, they had put idols there in the very temple in the house of God. Can you believe what a tenacity these people must have to bring idols into the very house of God? My friend, you are not any different today. We've done the exact same things. They had profaned the altar, and God was jealous about it. And not only, listen, he tells them here, he says, not only have they profaned the altar, not only have they done all this abominable things and coming into the house of God, but I'm going to show you where they have done more than that, where they've neglected more than the altar. Not only was that bad enough, he says, turn and look what they're doing here. He says, Ezekiel, they profane my altar. They want nothing to do with the altar of the living God. They want nothing to do with the altar anymore. But listen, that's just a part of it. And that's reason enough for me to go far away from my sanctuary is because they profaned the altar where they're supposed to meet with me. They profaned that thing. And listen, I've got every reason, every judicial reason to go far from them, to go far from my sanctuary. He says, but turn, and I'll show you greater abominations than these. Not only profaned the altar, listen, they profaned the very house of God. The house of God. You realize something. That temple was set aside as a special place. God put it upon Solomon's heart. David wanted to build a house of God. And listen, God said, David, you can't build a house of God because you're a man of war. You've shed much blood. He said, but your son's going to build a house for me. They cut no cost in building that building. Oh, it was all the gold and all the precious jewels they could get. This thing was something else. But listen, it was just a fancy-built home, a fancy-built structure until one day when old Solomon was in there praying and he raised his hands towards heaven. The Bible says the glory filled the place so much it was thick as a cloud. And God decided to dwell there. Now listen, you can't hem God up in a sanctuary. God was everywhere. But his glory was in that temple today. That little temple couldn't have held God. But God's glory was upon that place. And today we can't hem God up in New Harmony Baptist Church. But bless God, I pray when we meet here, his spirit is among us. And if it's not, it's our fault because we have run him out of the house of God. We have run him out. Listen, we want everything else today except God. We have profaned the house of God. We've took it and we've made it a den of thieves. You remember what they did? The old buyers and sellers was in the temple. They were selling doves and all these other things. And not that part was bad, but what was bad was they was making money off of it. They was making money. They was doing wrong, even in the house of God. And what did Jesus do? He came into the temple and he threw the tables over. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. It wasn't sin when Jesus did it. He's justice to do it. He had justice to do it because he is the one true judge. But they profaned the house of God. Verses 7 through 12 in chapter 8. And he brought me to the door of the court. When I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. And he said unto me, son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said to me, go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. Even in the house of God, they had them a secret room that nobody knew about. The 70 ancient men, you can trace them all the way back to Moses, and that's what become the Sanhedrin. The 70 men, they was there and they had them a leader in the middle of it, and brother, they were worshiping some vile things. The Bible says there was creeping things on the walls. They had drawn them out some idols there on those walls. They was in the dark and they was worshiping these things. They thought God could not see them. Listen, men, this is speaking to you and me today as men, as leaders in the house of God. These 70 men that was elders was supposed to be leading the house of God. They're supposed to be leading the worship. They're supposed to be in charge of the things. And bless God, they was in a room with all these abominations all around them. And they thought God couldn't see because they're off in the dark. He said, dig a hole in the wall. And there's a door there. And look in and see what they do. Ezekiel looked in and saw all the abominations on the wall. And all these things. He said, go in and see all the wickedness they do in there. So in verse 10, he said, I went in and saw. And behold, every form of creeping things. And abominable beasts. And all the idols of the house of Israel. Portrayed upon the wall round about. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. In the midst of them stood Jazaniah, the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. They was praying to these false gods. In the very house of God, the leaders now, the 70 elders, was praying unto false gods. And I bet they was guilty of saying, well, let's go have church today. Let's go to the temple and let's worship today because God's going to meet us there. We'll get ready and boy, we'll talk to our neighbors and say, we're going to go down to New Harmony and God's going to meet us there and we're going to have a good service. And we bring all these abominations in with us. And bless God, God cannot be in the midst of that mess. He's not going to be in the midst of it. He won't be part of it. If you have that in the house of God, he will be gone. He don't have to hang around that. He said, look and see what the men do. The leaders, look what they're doing. Church, you would be amazed if you could look today and you could see what the men of our church are involved in. And the men of all churches, not just our men. We're living in a time when a man is involved in some crazy things, some abominations. Even preachers, even pastors. Read a statistic, and I tell you this a lot. 7 out of 10 Southern Baptist pastors who admit it, who will admit it, have viewed pornography in the last 5 days. That was when they done a statistic. You won't want to get into the deacons, as guilty as the preachers. You don't want to get into the Sunday school teachers, as guilty as they are. Not just that, but there's other abominations that they're doing. And do you know the word abomination means? It means things that God hates. Things that God hates. And listen, we have people that are doing things God hates and bringing into the house of God, and they've got a name up there, such and such church. And when you see the word church in today's time, that's supposed to mean a house of God. That's a body of believers who's served and supposed to worship a true and a living God. And they allowed abomination to come into that house. And my friend, now it's not a church, it's simply a building, because God has gone from it. The leaders is caught up in abominations. All this nastiness. So profane the house of God. And then thirdly, the men had profaned themselves. All this stuff around about them. The men had profaned themselves. Listen, a church. And women, I don't mean no disrespect. Without the great women that we have today, our church wouldn't be what it is. Without the great women and churches all over our land, the churches wouldn't be what they are. Understand that. But according to God set up, His word and how God set up things. Man has to be the leader of the home and of the church. And it is. And when men fall down on those duties and it has to fall over to women, then the door is open for problems, because we have placed women in a place that God had never intended them to be, and it wasn't God's plan. Now listen, they're smarter than we are. I know that part. And God knew what we needed. We had to have a helpmate. And women completes a man. And listen, without a good woman, you are a mess, man, and you're no good. The Bible says, who you find a wife, find a great thing. I'm not putting down on women. I'm simply telling you that it's a men's job to be the leaders in the house of God. And when the men of the house of God have profaned themselves, then you have a church where God is not. You find a church who will have a strong men's ministry, you find a strong church. That's the bottom line. You find a church with a weak men's ministry and weak men, you find a weak church. It's just how it's set up. And the women try their best. Look around our church with a small number today. Do your little counting and see who outnumbers who. And we wonder, why has God left our churches? Why has God left us? We profaned the altar, profaned the house of God. We profaned the men. Boy, we took men today and we've made them into a bunch of sissies, ain't we? Hey, you can grow you a few whiskers today and people want to ask you a bunch of questions. Ty told me it looked like I'd been stranded on a deserted island for weeks. I just let it grow 3 days. But we've took men and we've degraded them. And we made them into being soft. And listen, because of this, they don't hold their duties at home. They don't hold their duties at the church. And because of this, God has went away. Men, this message is much to you today. And we're going to get to women in a few minutes. But this thing is much to you as it is to anybody. It's time for us men in the house of God, especially the leaders in this house, to be acting like the leaders that God has called us to be. Not to be locked up in some dark room somewhere and caught up with all these abominations and think we're hiding it from God. We think we can click delete and God didn't see it. We can turn a page or rip it out and God didn't see it. We can do it when nobody's watching and God didn't see it. That's exactly what the elders was thinking here. They thought the exact same thing. Profaned themselves. The men. The leaders. The problems in churches today. Always, you search back every problem in a church today and you'll find out that it comes from a lack of dedication of the leadership of the church. Every single problem you want to find, it does. A lack of leadership. We decided to sit back and let who will do it, do it. Most, bless God, most of the time it's the women who will step up. The men's got something else to do better. And we're in that dark room with abominations. And we profaned ourselves, men. Let's move on. I'm tired of throwing on men. I'm ready to get on women. Verses 13 through 14, listen to this. The women had profaned themselves. The women. Before I get on this, I want to say, the reason the women was in this place worshiping Tammuz, the fertility god, was because the men was in that room worshiping the abomination they was in. That's how the women got to where they was. He said unto me, turn thee yet again, thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. They brought me to the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north. Behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Weeping for a god of fertility. I've read about it this week and studied a lot, and nobody knows for certain what this was about. But one thing they do know is this was a god, a demigod of fertility. No, he was a small god because he wasn't a god at all. But he was worshipped as a god of fertility. And there's a bunch of beliefs about his wife and different things, but we're not going to get into that. But you're not going to have to guess where this is going. And in the worship of Tammuz, a lot of sexual, vile things was going on. And that's where we're going to leave it. Now you say, you just told us that 7 out of 10 pastors and preachers, they say, have viewed this mess in the last week or so. But what about women? You realize in the nation that we live in today, I read a thing one time where it said about 26% of viewings on a special site that you don't need to be looking at was women. And there was a book come out a few years ago about 50 Shades of Something, and it sold off the shelves. We said, well, hey, it's the same thing, you're reading it. And the women was caught up in this mess, they had profaned themselves, and because of this, God had went away from the house. Now listen, does it not, and listen, if you're, I was in here, I don't mean to be vile, but I've got to preach this. Is it not, does it ever catch y'all how all the worship that got to following small gods included that three-letter word of sex in that day, and it still does today. And you know the reason why? It's because it's the most addictive thing out there. It's more addictive than cocaine. It's more addictive than meth. It's more addictive than alcohol. The thing of sex. And you know why it is? Because God created it to be. You say, wait a minute. God created something bad. No. God created something perfect when he created that word. When he created what that word stands for. I read one writer this week that said you could take that as being an atomic bond between a man and a woman. It's what God created is great. And listen, in the right sense of God, that thing is perfect. It is not vile. It is not ugly. It is not wrong. In the marriage form, that thing is perfect. But you take it outside of the marriage, it becomes a drug that is worse than anything that we have ever seen. More lives ruined over it, more affairs start over it, and all these things start because of that word. It's ruined more marriages than any alcohol, drugs, or any of that stuff. And the reason it is because God created it so powerful. But we profaned it. We profaned it. God made it perfect. God made it have its right place in a powerful sense. But we have taken it. We use it to sell cars. We use it to sell alcohol. Bless God, we even use it to sell hamburgers. I am guilty of looking at a Hardee's commercial. I'm not going to lie. And you know, y'all that's ever watched TV in the last 5 years know what I'm talking about. You go up to the Birmingham. Listen, y'all may be more self-righteous than me, and I tell stuff on myself all the time. I think, why'd you tell that? Used to be a sign going up to Birmingham on Highway 78, a Hooters sign with an owl. And they had a person who works at Hooters on the sign. And it said, made you look. And it was right, it did. Well, that's joking, but what did it, men, it's serious. Women, it's serious. This thing is serious. It had defiled the house of God. And it's defiling the house of God today. Listen, we're living at a time when it's easier than it's ever been. There's probably nothing can be used for any greater good than the internet. Hey, you can put a sermon together in the amount of time today. It used to take men hours and hours to search topics out and things out and words out and meanings out. You can do it, but guess what? You can also type another word, and in a split second, you can be looking at something your eyes was never intended to see. And once that image is there, did you know this? Once you view that stuff, it can never, ever be wiped off of the hard drive of your mind. It's forever etched there. It cannot be gone. Never. It's there forever. more addictive. 10 times. The people who study this stuff say it's 10 times more addicting than cocaine. The stuff it puts off, the dopamine it puts off in your brain. That means the feel good, the euphoria. You know what happens? It's just like drugs. You look at the first image, you've got to see another one. And the next session, you've got to see more. And you've got to see more. It's how men wind up in child pornography and other things. They get desires, never get filled, and they keep going and going and going. And for long, they've got to a point where they find themselves in jail. They find themselves, their wives are gone, their families is gone. And bless God, the house of God is profaned because we have profaned ourselves by something that God created good. Everywhere you look in Scripture, where people got away from God, it involves something to do with worshiping a fertility god or god of something to do with sex. Still the same today. The women have profaned themselves. Moving on, we got to hurry. Verse 5, the priests have profaned themselves. I'm sorry, that's number 5, verse 16. The priests have profaned themselves. The 25 that had turned their back, this is where the priest should have been serving. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, behold a door, temple of the Lord between the porch and the altar were about 5 and 20 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east. And they worshiped the sun, the S-U-N, toward the east. The priest had turned their back on the house of God. The preachers had turned their back on the house of God. Look what all we saw profaned. The altar's been profaned. Hey, the house of God's profaned. The men have profaned themselves. The women have profaned themselves. The leaders, we saw the 70 leaders that was involved in the men have profaned themselves. And here we see the priests had profaned themselves, had turned their back on the house of God. We see it at an alarming rate, they say, of preachers leaving their jobs of preaching, leaving their callings of preaching. Because of all other things, they've turned their back on it. And the Lord's saying, why should I not go far from my sanctuary? You see, I like to see illustrations of things turn around. In Judges, y'all turn over there, but you don't got to. We'll have it on the screen for you. But in Judges, there was a man by the name of Samson. And by the way, this man of the name of Samson has defiled himself with the same thing we just got done preaching about. Samson had a problem with women. Was his downfall. And Samson had got involved with a woman named Delilah. And this woman was to be his kryptonite. She nagged him and nagged him to tell him where his power came from. And he tried lying to her, and she kept on. And she finally did what these young girls always do to get to her heart, men. She said, if you love me, you wouldn't be lying. If you love me, you wouldn't do this. If you love me, you wouldn't do that. And the Bible says that Samson got to a part where she was driving him absolute crazy about this thing. She kept on and kept on. The Bible says it's better to live on the housetop than in a home with a nagging woman. Man, y'all should be praising the Lord. Seriously, she was running him crazy. And finally, Samson says, okay, I know what's power's in me. Samson got to thinking he was doing this thing on his own with all the strength he had. He said, I'll just go ahead and tell her about my hair. So he told her. He laid her head. She, like a woman can do, laid his head on her lap, and she patted him to sleep. Woke up with all of his hair gone. Verse 20 says, she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. He awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. You notice what he said? And by the way, you go back to the start of Samson, when he first saw his power, the Bible says the Spirit of God came mightily upon him. The Spirit of God was represented because of his hair. Derek, the Spirit of God ain't there when you got that hair long. That's just a representation. A scissors or a razor had never touched the head of Samson. It was representation of the Spirit of God that was upon him. But Samson says, I will shake myself as at times past. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. This is the part that shook me. This house of God that Ezekiel was preaching to had no idea that God had departed. They was in their room, their abominations, and they didn't notice that the Spirit of God had left that place and wasn't even involved anymore. Samson was here. He was so caught up in sin, and he was so not in tune with God that he didn't even realize that word wisdom. He didn't know that the Spirit of God had left. He thought he was still the same Samson. And churches, we're guilty of thinking we're still the same churches that Paw and Mama had when they worshiped the true and living God in spirit and in truth. And bless God, we've got these abominations in here, and he has left. And we don't even realize it. He didn't realize the Spirit of God was gone from him. Verse 21. Philistines took him, put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow. Boy, what a shout right there, ain't we? The hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Verse 23. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered him together to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. Well, they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, our God hath delivered into the hands our enemy, and destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, they said, call for Samson, that he may make us a sport. They called for Samson out of the prison house. He made them sport. And they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me, that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women, beheld while Samson was made sport. Samson called unto the Lord. You notice something? This is the first time in the history of this man's life he called upon the Lord. Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me. O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me. I pray thee only this once, O God, that I may be once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. This is a man who, the Bible says, was set aside to start to deliver Israel out of the hands of the enemy. You find out about his life, that's where he was to be a start. He got caught up with this problem he had of women. He tried it all. He went down the wrong road. He got to a point where he got his eyes put out by these Philistines because the Spirit of God had left him. And he finds himself being sport to the Philistines. I believe old Samson, even in with his blind eyes, and I believe he could feel the hair of his head growing. He'd say, well, it's a little longer today. And I believe he remembered the promise that God had told his mother of who this man was to be. And Samson did something that me and you must do to get the Spirit of God back in this house, to get the Spirit of God back in all houses of God throughout this land. He cried out to God. That's pretty simple, ain't it? Oh God, remember me. I'm reminded of a man one day who was on a cross beside Jesus. You remember what he said? Lord, when you come in your glory, remember me. He said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Samson said, Lord, remember me. And just this one time, God, I pray just this last time that you use me. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which the house stood on, which was borne up of one of his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people who were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than which he slew in his life. Then his brother and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol, a burying place of Manoah his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. He was a mighty man of God who messed up a whole lot. These mighty men of God sitting in here right now today. You say, well, wait a minute. You don't know what I'm caught up in. No, I don't care what you're caught up in. I know who can get you out of it. This was a mighty man of God who messed up more than you have. He cried out to God, and God heard him. He finished well. You ever thought about this, Samson? He finished well. He started out great as a child. His mother made him keep everything he's supposed to keep, didn't cut his hair. In his early years, he went away from God, chasing the women and all the things of the world. But in the last day, he finished well. How do I know? How do I know how he finished? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. This failure I just read to you about, who didn't even know when the Spirit of God left him, who didn't even know when God wasn't with him anymore, made the hall of faith. Is that not amazing to you? He didn't use very little faith throughout all of his life, and here it is, he makes it in Hebrews chapter 11. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, and of Samson. Samson is mentioned as being part of the hall of faith, of great men of faith, which compassed by such a crowd of witnesses. Men, women, have you messed up? Has God left the house? How long has it been since you could feel God speaking? How long has it been since you could feel the power of God in your life? Have you even realized that he left? Have you even realized that it feels like he's gone from you? And although we know as Christians that he ever abides with us, we know that. But my friend, you can get to a point in your life where you're so numb to things, you can no longer feel that presence. He bowed his head and he cried out to God. The glory will return if we repent. If we repent and call out to God, he will restore us. You see, Samson's hair began growing. I don't know how long it was before the time when he pulled the building down, but I do know the Spirit of God had come upon him again, because no man can pull a building down without the power of God. Today, men, you may be caught up in a dark room. You may be caught up in a room with abominations all around it. You may have a place you go that nobody knows about. You know God knows it. You may think you've got that thing hid. You don't even realize that God has left the house. You know things ain't right. When you come to church, you feel nothing. Seems you numb. Can't feel the things you used to feel when you come into the, hear the preaching and the Word of God saying. And in the presence of your fellow believers, you don't feel that feeling you used to feel, that presence of God. What has happened? Profaned yourself. Women, you may be at a spot, you caught up at the same place. How easy it is to get caught up in these things. These was leaders in the temple of God. These was women who had jobs in the house of God. These was people, priests, had turned their back on the house of God. What about you today? Have you turned your back on him? These people was doing all kind of abominations, and God couldn't be around it. Maybe the reason today that our church don't have the power it should have, maybe we've got abominations in our lives that God can't be around. My friend, if God's not there, there's no power. Samson, when the Spirit of God was upon him, could break any binds that ever had held him. Nothing could ever hold Samson. When the Spirit of God left, he was as a weak little child, because there lies power. And that's how a church is. Without the Spirit of God, we're just a building. Whatever would please stand. You see, this is a hard sermon because we hit all of them. We talked about some hard things. And this one thing I mentioned today about what men and women can get caught up in, the main reason we stay there is because we're ashamed to admit we've got a problem. We think, well, somebody will look down if I admit that. Somebody will say, well, he's... can't believe that of him. I want to tell you something. You realize every single person sitting beside you, including yourself, has got sin in their life? You've got a sin. You've got something that separates you from God. You got something that so easily besets you. I believe that's what Paul talked about. He said, let's run the race. We've got to put off the weight so easily besets us. We all have that thing, something that so easily besets us. I have been around a lot of drug abusers in the last 6 months to a year. And you know what? Every one of them tells me the same thing. You cannot get help until you realize you've got a problem. till you realize that drug is a problem and it's destroying your life, you will not cry out for help. Everybody else can put you in every institution from here to England, and it ain't going to work. It'll only work when you realize that you've got a problem. Church, today you've got a problem. It's called sin. Men, you may be here and you may have a problem with some of the things I preached about. It ain't going to get better till you realize you got an issue with it. When you do, you come before God, you confess it. He's just to cleanse you and throw it away from sea. As far as the east is from the west, the sea of forgetfulness. He will cleanse you. Church, we cannot be what we're supposed to be without the power of God. We're an empty hole. What if he came today? What if he sent Ezekiel to you? Corinthians says you are the temple. Well, if he sent Ezekiel to you and Ezekiel was to dig into the hearts of your life, of every little cranny, every little crack, every little issue of your life, what would he find? Would he find some abominable things written on the walls? Would he find some disgusting things that your eyes have seen? Or that you may have taken into your body even? Hey, we never know what's going on in people's lives. I do know one who can cleanse all. Just as Samson repented, you today can repent, and the glory will return. As you play, you be honest with yourself. You need help, you come to this altar, you can find help. And listen, I'll even say this. You may have some type of addiction that I don't know about, your wife don't know about, nobody else knows about. There's help out there. All types of addiction, there are help. Will you find it? Will you realize you've got it? Need some help and reach out for it. Lost souls depend on us having the power of God. What will you do today as you please?